to Stu Haycock at breakfast on 107.3 Stafford FM.
As I was walking in, there was a chap standing outside our front door with a flask and wrapped up, as you can well imagine. He was on his mobile phone. Well, he looked like he was reading a text message. He says, "Excuse me, mate, do you know where there's anybody sleeping rough?" Now, usually there's somebody underneath our carport, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Our loading bay, as it's called. But the chap there, Michael, who we sorted out with the House of Bread, has disappeared now, hasn't he? I think they've sorted him out. He's got a house and stuff, and I think he's off the streets now. But this chap was telling me, and I didn't realise, well, I didn't think at the time, because it was so early and I was so tired and I was coming out, it was about 4:30 this morning, I didn't think to ask him his name or anything, but he said he was literally just walking around with a flask of hot chocolate, just, you know, sort of dishing out hot chocolate to people sleeping rough on the streets.
What an amazing thing to do.
And a young chap as well. I was quite inspired by it. I thought, crikey. That's impressive.
It's like you said to me, actually, it restores your faith in people. Sometimes people are a bit grumpy or you just don't see nice things day to day.
Yeah.
And actually, hot was throwing the money. It was cold this morning, wasn't it? And dark.
Freezing,
and getting yourself out of bed to do that for really no advantage to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
Weren't we told there's like 5 or 6 people in Stafford sleeping rough per night?
Yeah.
So he's obviously walking around trying to find these people that are sleeping rough with his flask of hot chocolate. How sweet. I don't know if he's got an emotional attachment to that, whether perhaps maybe he's been on the street before and, you know, because you can imagine that somebody who has been in that position themselves would be that way inclined to sort of give something back, so to speak.
Well, I think also it's worth remembering when we spoke to Will from the House of Bread, we were talking about the fact that Stuart, that was underneath our carport, I said,
and it was Michael, wasn't it? It wasn't Stuart.
No, it was Stuart.
Oh, was it? Yeah. He was on about Michael to me.
Oh, was he? I think because there's another guy who had a tent out there the last couple of days, I think.
Well, the tent's still there, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think that's a different guy. I think that must be one of the others. But I think it's, as I said, I'll be honest and say I was quite nervous to approach them. It's probably daft. It's just a person. But you kind of think, oh, what's the right thing to do? So actually, if this hot chocolate man, which is what I think we should call him, if the hot chocolate man has been in that situation, he just knows that, you know, realistically, they're just normal people that are having a bad time, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a good Samaritan, though. Unbelievable.
Amazing story.
And it does restore your faith in the human race. We'd love to know, though, who the mysterious hot chocolate man is in Stafford. Perhaps maybe you know who he is. I should have grabbed his I should have sort of asked him. I didn't think about it, to be honest. It wasn't until he'd walked off and I was walking up the stairs to come in the studio, so I thought I should have asked him his name.
You've got a lot on your mind, and it was very early, so we'll forgive you.
So if you know the mysterious hot chocolate man that is walking around dishing out, hot chocolate from his flask of hot chocolate, to people sleeping rough in Stafford, give us a shout this morning, 01785 62 1073. Would love to know what his inspiration for that is. I wanted to talk about this morning because we're doing the whole unexpected news thing. You know, when has somebody rung you up or sort of pulled you to one side and given you some news, and it's either been life-changing or it's been some really good news or some really bad news. And yesterday, you'll know, obviously, I had quite some horrific news. And this all sort of goes back probably to last week. Now, you were in the studio with me, weren't you, on Thursday?
I was, yeah.
Obviously. And it was like 10 to 10, and my ex-wife was ringing me. Mr. Call rang about and says, got some news for you. And I was like, all right, okay. We've got to go to the hospital, Birmingham Children's Hospital, Monday, and they want to speak to us urgently. So I start quizzing her then, what's going on, what's happening? She's like, don't know, they won't tell me over the phone. She was saying to the consultant who'd rung her at the time, is it bad news? They're like, well, look, you know, you just need to come with your husband or your ex-husband and just sit down with us and talk to us. So anyway, over the weekend, you start thinking about horrible things, don't you? And then I'd sort of convinced myself yesterday after talking to people over the weekend about it, because I was worrying about it, and it just dragged the weekend. I was talking to people and I just thought, it's just going to be a much ado about nothing. Now, my son's got biliary atresia, which is a liver disease, and he's had it since birth, and he was diagnosed 3 months, after 3 months, and had this life-saving op called a Kasai. And you know at some point he's going to need a transplant, but because he's 12 this year, and he's as tall as me, he looks ever so healthy, you kind of just sort of go with the flow a little bit, and it's almost like you just get used to the fact that he's in and out of Birmingham Children's Hospital. And then when we were sat down on Monday, this is yesterday, we walk into the hospital, consultant's all jovial, she's, you know, she's okay with everything, and she pulls us into the special room, as I call it. We sit down, a nurse then comes in straight away. You're thinking, this ain't great, because she's obviously got somebody else in for support. And oh, the news just breaks your heart. Absolutely. Anybody that's got kids, you know, because I was talking about this to you, wasn't I, last night, saying that, you know, there's a lot of people ringing and messaging me, and thank you very much, by the way, saying, look, and I'm sure they're doing that with my ex-wife and what have you. They're all saying, look, you know, can't imagine how you're feeling. However, if you've got kids, or, you know, mum, dad, whoever it may be in your family, and you get some bad news about them being poorly and stuff, you know exactly how somebody feels when this sort of news reaches you, so to speak. So it doesn't matter if you don't have that news, but if you've got children, you'll fully understand. But yesterday we were told that basically his portal veins to his liver, it's really complex, are too small. And they're so small that they're not even registering on scans. And he's on 3 or 4 scans now. And if they don't transplant now, he'll die, in short. That's the short and curlies of it. So in a couple of weeks, we're going for liver assessments in Birmingham Children's Hospital. And then obviously he's been put on the transplant list. And then it's a waiting game, anywhere from a month to 6 months before he gets the transplant. And it just sort of got me thinking this morning about the whole unexpected news, because I wasn't expecting that. And you know that, don't you?
No, you weren't expecting that.
I'd convinced myself, didn't I, that, you know, it was going to be all right and it wasn't going to be as serious as it was. But I'll tell you what, crikey, when they're talking to you and they explain as much as they possibly can, your heart is just sinking. I can't, it's weird, really weird. Well, it would be, I suppose.
One thing that you said to me yesterday that really stuck with me, obviously we had a chat afterwards, and one thing you said to me was, do you know, I've realised now that nothing else matters. And I think that is all you can take from it. There's no sort of, you know, real positives other than actually you've realised what matters. And, you know, we're really lucky that we've got a fantastic NHS that are going to help, and you've got the specialist team on it, haven't you? So
yeah. And we spoke with him yesterday, because we got back from the hospital, picked the kids up, sat them both down, and told him, and the shock in his face, you could just see the worry. And he's one of these lads, he won't sit there and cry, he'll just brush it off. And the first thing he said, when we sort of told him, we didn't tell him everything, we just basically, and I know he's not listening because he's at school now, so he goes pretty early, so you know, I'm not putting that out there, and he's going to be listening to the radio right now going, oh, he didn't tell me this. But he basically was told the very basics, that his liver's poorly and he's going to need a transplant and he's got 3 months off school. First thing he said, as soon as that was said to him, he's like, will you buy me something then?
He's such a little legend, isn't he? Yeah. Bless him.
And I think the good thing is about this is once the transplant's happened and he's got this new liver, no more Billy Ray Treasier. So that was the positive angle that we took with him.
And I think a massive point to make from your perspective, which again is something you said to me, which is actually the most important thing that you can do for him is normality. So I think the reason why you are carrying on as normal, that you're here this morning and that he will be going to school as normal, is all you can do whilst you're waiting is keep that normality.
Yeah. And I think the other thing to point out is there are children and people in a lot far worse positions than us, but it's just worth sort of talking about it, because we were mentioning about unexpected news. When have you had some good news or some bad news drop in your lap? Get on the Facebook page this morning. For Tuesday, a bit later, the pancake race in Stafford's Market Square, 11 o'clock. And it seems that I've been roped into wearing heels for this. Thank you to Lisa Clemson, who's the Stafford Town Centre Partnership Manager, who's reminded me that yesterday I mentioned that I was going to wear heels for this. I think it was suggested by you, actually, and it looks like I've got to wear heels now. But I won't be in the 118-11 out costume, I will add, that I did say I was going to wear, because we spoke to Karen at the Fancy Dress Party Shop yesterday, and she hasn't got one of those, but she's going to sort us out with something else. High heels, miniskirt, I'm thinking.
Something funny. Dear. We'll sort it out, don't worry.
As long as I've got a pair of leg warmers, I'm not bothered it's freezing. 11 o'clock, and you can hear the whole thing live. Now, if you've never heard our pancake race commentary before, we've done it every single year since about 2011, and it's always been with Ian Beddo, and it's absolutely hilarious. So if you can't get into the Market Square, make sure you're listening to Mark Edgington a bit later on the mid-morning show. From 11 o'clock, we'll be live in the Market Square, the pancake race here on Stafford FM. Worth listening to, because it's always a giggle with the brilliant Ian Beddo a little bit later here at Stafford FM. Now, I mentioned I went to the hospital yesterday. The first thing I did when I came back was pretty much sit on a car park. And I moved from one car park to another just to grab my thoughts, you know, get my thoughts together. And I ended up on Costa on the retail park at Queen's. But before that, I went to Asda. And I did nip into Asda, actually, to get some deodorant. So I realised I'd needed some deodorant. I thought I'd take my mind off it. And I bumped into a friend who's just had a beautiful baby girl. Yeah. And I was cooing. I was getting all broody. She was pushing this little baby around.